Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 370 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpie.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, May 3rd, and tonight we're going to talk some comic book properties because we're going to talk the Marvel Back to the Studio featurette or whatever that thing
Back
was.
Back to the theaters, you scum. Make us more money.
And then we're gonna. I hope that segues nicely into what would get the three of us back into buying regular comic books or a regular comic book and being excited about it, because the three of us have not been regular comic book readers for a while now.
Yeah, over a year, I think, for sure.
Yeah, our interest has flagged across the board. Across the board here, but we'll get into that later on in the show. But what we do first every episode for you new listeners out there is we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
Are there new listeners out there? I'd love to hear from you.
Are there even old listeners?
Are there
anyone listening? Hello,
Ian. Treat it like a comic book where every issue may be someone's first listen.
Well, if you want to see a lot of comic book influence and inspired comedy, deep cuts, if you will, that maybe you might not even get anymore, go to McSauce.com. You can find the comic strip that Paul and myself did back about for 10 years or so. We also have the podcast on our website, McSauce.com. You can go to any one of the podcast vendors, be it Podomatic, Radio.com, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, any of the places that you get your podcasts, that's where you're going to find McSauce Podcast. We also have a Patreon, and if you put $5 down towards your entertainment budget for this month, we will send you a specialized podcast, we'll send you a survey, fill the survey out, and we'll deliver a podcast especially for you about whatever you want to listen to in the next couple of weeks. And I promise, because I uploaded it today, so by the time that you hear this, I know, by the time that you hear this, you'll be able to go on and hear part one of Transformers the Movie review that Paul and I did earlier in April. We sat down, we broke it into three chunks, and we watched Transformers the Movie.
3 half-hour chunks, very digestible.
Yep, Paul and myself had a bunch of hot takes and a lot of feelings from whenever we were little kids about Transformers the Movie. So,
I think we also looked at it fairly as adults now, like going into it now, trying to separate some of those more ethereal feelings with what was actually what the movie actually gave to us.
Yes. I listened to myself earlier today as I was editing. I listened to myself talk myself into liking Hot Rod, which I never thought that would happen. But yeah, go to our Patreon and check out not only the Transformer-centric podcasts, but we also have video game stuff. We have music stuff. We have a whole bunch of things on our Patreon channel. And honestly, if you want to support this podcast, that is the best way to help us continue to bring you great free products and great exclusive products as well. So go to patreon.com and put down your 5 hard-earned dollars, and we will hook you up with some cool podcasting adventures.
Very well done, Ian.
Thank you.
So I guess earlier today, Marvel released kind of a commemorative sizzle reel just kind of a, hey, remember all this stuff that you liked? Well, there's more stuff in the future that you're going to like. And, you know, they get Stan Lee to do the narration. And
I love
he was like, I was sleeping.
I love the hand motion of you poking him with a stick.
No, I was going to say tug at your heartstrings.
Oh,
that was me tugging.
I was like wake up, Stan.
I was tugging at heartstrings, not poking Stanley's corpse with a stick.
I thought you were jerking him off, but you know, that's me.
Oh, yeah. 3 minutes of remember what you liked and here's more stuff.
A little bit. Necromancy, masturbation.
Necrobation?
Sure.
Mastermancy.
It's definitely Mastermancy.
That none of that was in
unfortunately
was in this trailer.
No Mastermancy.
That is not the Doctor Strange sequel.
Oh my God. I would go in a heartbeat to see Doctor Strange and the, what is it? The multiverse of Mastermancy? Holy smokes.
Sign me up. So, what's the name of that clip called?
Who could ever know? I think it is called Marvel Studios Celebrates the Movies.
So go look it up on YouTube, dear listeners. We'll take a minute for you. Come back, and you know, then you'll be all caught up. Okay, you're back. You watched it. Good stuff. Now, the first part of the trailer is, hey, remember all this stuff you loved? The second part, I feel, is very, your mileage may vary. But
it's like, remember all of the famous, worldwide famous Marvel heroes that we all know, that everybody knows. You're not going to get this in the next round of movies. So hang in there. We promise you'll like it.
On the positive side, something that stood out to me that I really liked in this trailer is something that I started to pick up on during watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And it's that like Marvel theme music. I'm not going to sing it, but I think we know what we're talking about when, you know, we're looking at all the movie clips and then the Marvel Studios comes up.
Yeah.
And about halfway through Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like, I'd be done with an episode. I'd be going about my day and I'd just have that like bouncing around in my head. Like, I think it's cool. I like it. I think, you know,
it is
really
sort of
done
like the Marvel, like fanfare, right? Yeah. Is that what?
Yeah. It's sort of like the, I don't know, the 20th Century Fox. For me, like, as soon as I hear that now, like, they've gotten it to a point with me where it is very much this Marvel thing. Did either of you hear that music in the trailer, or was it?
I did. I was waiting for our resident
musicologist,
musician,
music mancer.
Music, our resident music mancer, conjure up his opinion.
Confirmed.
Oh, excellent.
It's going to be one of those.
Excellent. Matt, did you take anything positive away from this We Love Ourselves trailer?
It really is like Mastermancy. Like, hey, here are our greatest hits.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it was kind of cool, actually. Like, I liked that they put it, you know, it's worth the wait. Because, yeah, it has been a long time. It was already going to be a long time in between Marvel movies and then the pandemic, and now it's been obscenely a long time. With that said, I don't know if it needed to be that long. Maybe we could have got these outside of movie theaters, because Ian, you went to a movie theater not that long ago. Was it everything that you dreamed it was going to be, or was it a little bit frustrating compared to the luxuries of the home theater?
I love a home theater. Love a close bathroom. Love a pause button. I did enjoy going back to the theater, but they're definitely, I think that my patience, if it was a energy bar, I think that I've I've sustained some damage, Matt. I've taken some hits, and I didn't have the same kind of patience that I used to have, and unfortunately, neither did player two, my wife, who already has a very low patience-ometer. So,
yeah, she's got a short wick.
I feel like children were just like on the brink of death for talking during trailers.
Yeah, well, the good thing is with these Marvel movies, we probably won't have any children at these things, right?
That is a good thing.
Right.
Very adult movie.
Yeah. If there were tons of children at Mortal Kombat, it's safe to say the theater is going to consist of just children and you.
Buddy, it was crazy. It was almost a 50-50 split between people that played Mortal Kombat 1 and people that grew up with Mortal Kombat 9. 69 is their combat of choice. No overlap.
Kids love seeing a good spine outside of the body.
I really did kind of get jazzed, though, about all those logos one after the other. And I love that they put dates on all of them. Subject to change, of course, as we know over the last few years.
You love a logo, you love a date, you love an assured thing on the calendar.
That's right. As Sala once said, I don't like a bad date, though. And I want my dates to be held true. If we can't meet this date in the theater, give it to me on lovely Disney Plus.
Well, Marvel and all their dates are going to be real pissed when Pandemic 2 happens.
Right, right. When flu season starts, oh my God!
Yeah,
shut it down!
When Pandemic 2 Electric Boogaloo rolls around, Marvel's going to be real pissed off.
Look, everything has changed over the last year. I feel like this is, you know, after the blip in real life. And I think we've demonstrated that we can do this at home. We can watch these at home. We're paying these premium prices. Like, are you really out that much money? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they are. But
so would you still, in order for a movie like Black Widow to make back its bucks or make it worthwhile for Disney to even put out on a streaming service, you're probably going to have to pay that premium $19 or whatever it is that they're charging.
Well, I'll wait.
Would you do
I'll
that?
Wait the 2 extra months for it to be free on the streaming channel that I'm already paying for.
Okay. Other people probably would pay that $19.
Do it, man. Go for it. Pay that.
Hey, man. I like to go in the arena. I want to be in there with those little kids, snot nosed kids.
So are they not releasing Black Widow on Disney Plus?
I don't think so. Are they?
I don't know. I don't think it matters to Ian Wayne Gacy over here.
Spartacus over here.
Are you not entertained? I'm holding up a bag
child,
of popcorn.
A dead child.
A child's head and fucking bag of popcorn.
I could go for some lovely movie theater popcorn. It has been a minute.
Yeah, I was
come to the arena.
And I thought I heard that since Black Widow kept getting pushed and pushed, that they were going to do
it's like it's getting bullied.
That they were going to do the theater release and Disney Plus release for that. I don't know if there would be a premium on top of your Disney Plus price already, but I thought at least with Black Widow they were going to do that. Maybe not.
I think
maybe
they're going to do
change now that things are opening back up.
No, I think they're going to still do that, sort of like Mulan. Whenever Mulan came out for, I don't know, I think it was, in fairness, I think it was like 5 months before it rolled into the regular
was
Disney
Plus. Was
it
that long? I thought it was only a couple months.
They want you to pay that money, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was 5 months.
That extra
I think it was
bucks.
A while.
Give me Disney Plus for free, then.
That said, like, fucking Mulan was actually a really good movie. Would I have paid for it outside of my subscription? No. Would have went to the theater to see it if it was an option.
If they made it for sale for $20.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe we're talking. But a rental on top of my subscription fee, that's outrageous.
Yeah, this HBO Warner Brothers 2021 plan has fucking spoiled me. How dare you think I'm going to the theater ever again when this technology already exists?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any going back with some of these companies. Like, Disney might hold out, but I think the push is going to be too much for them not to release it day
right.
and date.
Once movie theaters start going out of business, hey, Disney, what are you going to release this shit on? You're going to have to release it on home video.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, I don't want to say it's what I need to hope for, people losing their jobs, but like maybe that's what it takes for Disney to start rolling everything out.
I don't want theaters to go away, but I wouldn't mind if people went away so that way we could go to the theater and enjoy
ourselves. Hey, what a nice tie-in to Marvel's Infinity War, where we just snap, and hey, there goes all the theater goers, like dust in the wind.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like, I don't want to have to pay $20 for a movie I'm not all that excited about seeing just because we're going to talk about it here.
In fairness, is it $20? I guess if you're
Mulan
paying for...
was $20, and a bunch of most new releases are $20.
If you go to the theater, though, like say you go to the theater, you yourself are paying probably $6, $8, whatever, if you don't buy concessions.
Yeah, it's like I top out at like 15 at the most. Granted, it's only like a $5 difference, but I don't know. I can't bring myself to pay $20. And like, I understand I can do the math and factor in concessions and whatever else. But knowing that I was previously paying $6 to see a movie, and now I'm paying $20, like at least then I was paying $6, but I still had to drive there. I still had to go through the inconvenience of, people. Now, so like,
I still have that humanity tax is what you're paying.
I have to pay more to do less,
right? Like, because you're paying for the convenience, you fucking idiot.
Like, it's not somehow it's not that convenient. Like, I just don't like. I've wanted to watch The Hunt for like over a year now.
Oh my god! I can't bring myself. I'm going to your birthday's coming up. I'm going
to
buy you The Hunt. So you shut up about it. You've been fucking talking about it forever.
I'm like. And I mean, now Mulan's on. But I never really wanted to see Mulan. But
it's really good.
With like Black Widow, I'm like, I don't really care. I don't care. If that we were all going to the theater, I would go. But like, I mean, I don't want to pay $20 for Black Widow.
We haven't been able to be bothered to watch a movie on HBO Max together. There's no way we're going to.
Well, that was miscommunication. That wasn't something that we didn't want to do. Failed communication on
now,
our part.
I will say of the trailer, the Black Widow stuff was the stuff that seemed to do the least for me overall. I thought that seeing, and it was funny because each movie they showed in sequential order in terms of like what is going to come first in the theater. And the movie that's coming after Black Widow is Shang-Chi.
Oh, I thought that was that Kung Fu show on CW. I'm just kidding.
It's like each movie you got a little bit less, footage.
Mileage may vary.
I'll tell you this. Movie that I'm most interested in seeing outside of the Spider-Man movie. Well, no, it's not true. I think Shang-Chi looks pretty cool.
I still haven't watched the trailer. I could not be less interested in Shang-Chi. I also couldn't be less interested in the Eternals. It's a real battle for zero interest between those two properties.
I wanted to see more because it was just a little itty bitty clip. Is there a trailer out for the Eternals? Okay, so that's all we have so far. I want to see more of that because I thought it looked kind of interesting.
I read the Neil Gaiman book, but. It was fine, but it was like so weird. I didn't love it.
Cool. Yeah, I thought it was really pretty cool, but outside of that version of them and that explanation of the Eternals, I'm like, too crazy, too out there for me.
Right, too bonkers.
Yeah, it seems like Marvel, even for their more out there stuff, manages to make it accessible to everybody, whether you like it or not. Maybe it should be a little less accessible. I don't know. But the point is...
Lessable?
Yes. The point is, I think that regardless of how weird the source material is, the movie should probably be okay. I do think that the Doctor Strange movie is going to be cool because Sam Raimi's doing it. Evil Dead's Sam Raimi.
Not Spider-Man 3's Sam Raimi?
No.
Okay.
Evil Dead's Sam Raimi.
Cool.
I think I'm really eager to see how far Marvel might push it into like horror territory. Like, I don't think you got Sam Raimi to make this, so that way it would be more interdimensional. I think it's going to lean more, although it is Multiverse of Madness, but I just feel like it will lean into it, into his horror roots a bit. So that's cool. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I know it was a lot of logos and stuff, but some of the shit I didn't know was so close. Like the Black Panther movie, I didn't know that that was next year.
It's going to be tough for them to do that, even though they've reframed it from Black Panther 2 to Wakanda Forever, which honestly I think is a good turn, because for me, that was the stuff that was most interesting, was the world of Wakanda.
Yeah, I think that stuff's great. You know, Black Widow, man, Shang-Chi, Eternals, and then, but Wakanda Forever sounds cool. I loved all the Wakanda stuff. I thought they built that world and like the smaller cultures in that world so well. It was so detailed and uniquely done. I was like, oh my God, this was so cool.
It's the best world building. And I didn't love that movie, by the way, but it was the best world building that a Marvel movie has done, period. Like, compared to, like, Thor or anything. I don't think anything can match it.
Yeah, I mean, like, of all the franchises that could take a hit, like, losing their flagship character, Black Panther totally can. Like, in fact, the storytelling process probably needed Black Panther to take a step back,
because
he isn't very interesting.
There were so many other characters that people loved in that movie. Like, you come out of the first Thor movie and everyone's like, oh, I love Thor. And but like the Warriors,
I love Thor, and like I love the beat off to Loki. That's what happened.
Wait, like the Tumblr. Other characters that populated that franchise, at least in the first two movies, didn't get the same bump as like, you know, the Dora Milaje or Letitia Wright.
Yeah,
like there were, or even like Michael B. Jordan. Like there were, it seemed like Chadwick Boseman was great, but the rest of the cast around him was equally great and interesting. And like that, you can tie this new version of Winter Soldier into this, which he was my favorite part of Falcon and Winter Soldier, so that could be a neat.
So was
for
that
him in that?
Was that Sebastian Stan in one of those clips in this trailer thing? I thought it was.
I'm sure they were showing everybody in that thing. I thought the Ant-Man movies got a lot of play, got a lot of clips. I love the first face you see is the gorgeous face of Paul Rudd.
Big Ant-Man guy, huh?
Can't wait for
a Quantumania.
Quantumania. Yeah, that was like Ant-Man. That and Guardians. Those are my jams. Would you say?
Can't, man.
whether he can or can't, it's fine with me. Like I'm amped about those movies. So seeing like those two coming down the pike are what I'm most excited about. And then like closely under there is No Way Home, Spider-Man movie.
Wait, Ant-Man and what was the other one?
Guardians 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Guardians 3 is closer to the first one than the second one. But I fear it will be.
I would challenge you to watch the second one again. I think the second one.
You challenge me, huh?
Yeah, to a duel of sitting on the couch and watching.
As you slap me across the face with a pair of gloves.
with a comic book. Yeah, man. check out the second Guardians. I think that you will be pleasantly surprised at how much you would like it.
Really?
Yes. I'm gonna hang in there. I love them both. I think it's a better movie than maybe we... Like, I think we came out of the theater and we're like, oh, Guardians is great. And then we kind of soured on it as it went on. Watch it again. I think there's a lot of really heartfelt moments in that, especially all the Yondu and
Peter Quill stuff. Yeah, I don't think it helps that the last time we saw Guardians was with Taika Waititi's Thor, where it was just like Zinger Fest.
I think that may have tinted
those first two Guardians movies. Not for me. I think they're both wonderful. But the last time, Matt, you saw the Guardians, you know, they were talking about how hot Chris Hemsworth is.
Yeah, but that's not dissimilar from, like, James Gunn directed those scenes, dude. Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Watch it. Watch it again.
Okay.
You can come back and say it's bad, but I would say
that's fair. It's fair.
Check it out.
I haven't seen it since the theater.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them that
I haven't
seen.
It's a long time ago, too. Like, when did the second Guardians come out? Was it, I'd say, like 17? Somewhere around there?
Even the really good ones I haven't seen since the theater, like Infinity War.
Really?
I only saw it once in the theater.
I think I saw that once at home, too. But yeah, there's a billion of them I haven't seen because there's so much. There's so many of them, plus there's so many other things to watch, and I rarely rewatch anything because
do you never have any time whenever you're just sitting around, you're reading or doing something that your attention is split, you just need something on the TV. Like a lot of the time, that is what happens with that time and that kind of chunk where I'm sitting there, I'm doing something, I don't want to pay attention like hardcore, but I want something on TV that is fine to watch. Nope.
No.
All scheduled out, huh?
If I'm reading, I'm reading. Like everything else gets shut down and I'm just reading. If I'm like, I don't know, if I'm like most of the time, if I'm doing something, if I'm drawing or something, I'm going to have a podcast on. So like normally if I'm not doing if I'm not reading, then yeah, I don't have that time. Like, if I'm watching TV, I'm watching TV. It's not just... If it's background noise, it's going to be NHL Network.
Okay. So, Paul, for you, the most exciting thing was the Ant-Man and the Wasp. What's the title of that movie?
Quantumania.
The Ant-Man and the Quantum... That would be funny. So that logo was the most exciting part for you, and then the Guardians 3, Volume 3 logo was also...
Yeah. Those were the big two. And also Far From Home, or No Way Home. I really like those Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, so I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah, that's probably tops on my list, just because Spider-Man, yeah. I mean, it's... But... Outside of that, man, Shang-Chi. I'm down with That's something a wild. Little different. Give me some martial arts for, you know, a change with a Marvel movie. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to watch that trailer and see what's up. I did think the bit on the bus where he double kicks two guys.
Looked
really good because it looked...
Kind of real.
It looked very real, and it looked quick and hard.
Yeah, there's not enough of that in the trailer. The trailer's a lot of... what you would probably expect out of a Marvel movie, but I'm still holding out hope that it's going to really be heavy on classic martial arts. Like, those comics that it's based on are based on those old martial arts movies from the 70s. So, like, I hope that it pulls from that and we get something, you know, really cool and different.
That's never been a genre that I've been interested in, and I've been deep in DC lore not all my life, but a long part of it. But like even all the like that side of the DC universe and like the I can't even think of his name now, like the guy that trained Batman and like the Ra's al Ghul stuff always has a lot of like martial arts shit going on. And, like
that was Mick. Oh, that was Rocky.
I'm just like, none of that stuff interests me. So I think that's part of my, part of why I don't really give a shit about Shang-Chi. I'm like, oh, it's going to be Iron Fist, but he's going to be Asian. He's going to get some kind of mystical power and go do karate with it.
Ian, what logo moved your needle? Moved your Marvel needle?
Oh, my goodness. My Marvel needle.
Gross.
It's disgusting. I am excited for the Wakanda Forever, as we talked about. I'm also excited for the Guardians. A little bit excited for Thor Love and Thunder. I know that we fucking hate Ragnarok. I'm sure we're going to get
watch it. I dare you to watch it again.
Challenge you.
Challenge you. Well, I accept your challenge. It's on TNT all the time. And as Paul does not have like placeholder stuff, I do. I put on something on TNT and I'll read something. Dude, and maybe I'll watch it. Multitask.
Let me half watch it. No, you have Disney Plus. Just put it on and watch it.
Yeah, I think.
Absolutely.
What this trailer does, and like, maybe it's doing its job because it makes me want to just sit down and watch the two Guardians again. It makes me want to watch the two Ant-Man.
You have access to them.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess this trailer worked. It's mojo on me.
Reinvigorated your Marvel-dom.
You're right. It does make me want to revisit some of this Marvel stuff.
Does it really? That's interesting, Matt, that you feel a little bit reinvigorated.
A little bit. Yeah, like, yeah, a little bit.
Second time watching it through. The first time at home, watched it, absorbed it the way that I would. But the second time, sitting here tonight, I was like, how's Matt going to take all of this in? Because it was the first time that you're watching it. So yeah. I felt like I watched it through your eyes the second time. And I feel like you're out on Black Widow and out on a lot of the different things. The Shang-Chi thing really surprises me. Are you an old school like kung fu guy, or
I mean, I'm
ninjas?
Not I'm
you
not
love
in...
a ninja?
Yeah, I do.
Matt,
yeah.
Love a ninja. Karate. Did he?
No.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. No.
Didn't you take some kind of martial art class?
No.
You're not a yellow belt in something?
He's a yellow bellied.
What Berenstain Bears universe am I living in?
I don't know. Berenstain Bears universe? What? Pause. Why would it be the Berenstain Bears universe?
Because that's like the most common example for the Mandela effect, how people have like certain memories that cross over with
this
other
is interesting.
People's memories.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You
explain to the audience.
What's the Mandela effect?
I know what
that
is.
What does that have
is,
to do with the Berenstain Bears?
Yeah, explain them both. Good luck, Paul.
I'm going to do my best with this. So the Mandela effect is a phenomenon that a lot of people have had where they remember one thing a certain way, but other people will swear it was a different way.
It is like group misremembering.
Yes, and the Berenstain Bears is always the main one that comes up because I'm pretty sure like people like me remember it the way it was as Berenstain Bears. But other people will like go to their grave swearing it was like
Berenstain.
The Bernstein Bears.
They're bears. They're not Burns.
Some slightly different.
It's a grizzly bird.
Different name. And maybe that's not exactly right, but that's the concept of this group misremembering.
A polar bear.
Who would win in a fight, a polar bear or a grizzly bear?
So I've heard of the Mandela effect. I've never heard of the Berenstain Bears effect.
The Berenstain Bears?
Interesting.
Did I say Bears?
No. You said it correctly the whole way.
That's how the dumb people apparently are misremembering
people have,
it.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
bird.
That's...
Berenstain Bears and Berenstain Bears?
They're from Chicago.
It's fine. We live in the Matrix. Our minds are twisted. Time's a flat circle.
So
all that good stuff.
So apparently mine is that Matt took martial arts and has a yellow belt. And
I don't know. You've got a lot of Berenstain Bears moments. Yeah, you misremember stuff and you conflate different things.
That's just the alcohol, mostly.
Could be. I'm just saying it's a Berenstain Bears effect.
Yeah, but like the stuff
maybe it's a Berenstain Bruise effect.
The stuff I fucked up is just effect. Because because I'm an idiot, and you'll be like, no, this is how it is. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. But like the...
Should we call it out the whenever we're having a Mandela?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. But like the Berenstain Bears stuff
just
is like
scream Mandela.
More intriguing.
Mandela!
Yeah. Yeah. Do we have any...
We'll probably get two or three opportunities before the show is over.
Oh, that's unfair.
Do we have any least favorite parts of the trailer?
Yeah, the Black Widow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Does that do it? It looks like more of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. God help us.
Yeah.
No thanks. Keep it.
Any of the new stuff that you were particularly unexcited about?
No. I'm down with pretty much. I'm even down with Black Widow. I'm glad it's the first thing because, you know, but.
Let's get us back to the movies. Get us like kind of, back into it before we get into the heavy stuff. Mm. A little light beer.
I'm glad that this stuff is coming back. I just kind of wish we still had the option to maybe watch it at home a little bit.
Who knows, man? It's a ever-evolving kind of thing.
I know. But this company seems really hell-bent on getting butts in movie theater seats.
Asses in seats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe the public will... Because there are more people out there like Paul that essentially will be like, I'm not going anywhere, and you better deliver this product to me through the service that I'm paying for, which is fair. But there are more people like that than psychopaths like me that are like, I just want to get out of the house. Is there something to do? Fucking, let's go to the movies.
I'm not convinced of that. I don't know if that ratio. I think it's... probably more in your favor.
Yeah, I think as things open up, we're going to get back more toward the normal, and isn't going to be a necessity to put things on stream right away.
There are people that are never, ever going back to the way that we used to interact with everybody socially.
At some point, I think that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then like I'll just be back going to movies like I always did, no big deal. But... man, I don't want to lose that option of... because, like, there is no fucking way I would ever have watched Mortal Kombat if it wasn't free on HBO Max this past weekend. Probably the same with the last two Godzilla movies.
Take a breath.
I ran out of air. I wish we could have, like, audio episode titles. Yeah, like there's no way I would have ever watched those movies because who could ever care? I could not give a fuck about those properties. But since they were available, like, yeah, I'll fucking throw it on. I'll check it out. But like with the Marvel stuff and, you know, our shared experience with comics and, you know, all these properties, I feel like it's a little more important that I actually put forth the effort to watch them. But if like most of the time the three of us would go to the theater together for this stuff, but at home, I'm like, man, do I want to pay $20 for the Marvels?
Let's put it this way.
I do not.
I'm glad that I didn't pay to go to the theater for Mortal Kombat, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, Justice League, because it was too long for a theater.
Oh, my God. That had to have two intermissions.
Right? Probably even, it would be fun to see it on the big screen, but it wasn't that great of a movie, the Kong versus Godzilla. So like all the big things that we've kind of, you know, looked forward to seeing that traditionally we probably would have gone to the theater for, maybe would have gone to the theater for, they certainly did not deserve us going to the theater. None of them were that good, except for the Justice League, in my opinion.
Yeah, but again, I think that one of the reasons why it was as good as it was and why it was a great viewing experience is because you could stop between parts and you could watch it a la carte as you wanted to. That had a major impact, at least on me and you know, the way I watched it. I broke it up over three nights. I had to. But what was cool was that me and my wife actually got to watch it together, whereas she would have fell asleep for 2.5 hours of that thing.
Ian, yeah, right. And I think most people probably broke it up somewhere, whether it was they did an intermission and, you know, finished it all in the same night, or they broke it up over the course of one or two nights. Somehow I watched it all in one continuous sitting, which
it's crazy.
I didn't know if that's like, I guess that was kind of the plan.
Yeah.
Because I did start it like at about 6:30 and finished it around 10 or 10:30 at night. It certainly would not be my preferred. Like, there's a reason why, you know, those Lord of the Rings extended cut movies that came out.
I know them very well.
That is not what came into the theater. You got the theatrical cut, which was a 1 hour shorter version, or even more than 1 hour shorter. And that's just because, like, that's too long for a movie theater sit.
Yeah, I think the Snyder Cut added so much value to the experience of watching that movie that it was worth being able to break it up. And maybe, you know, and honestly, maybe that's what we're moving into, is a new area of different types of movies that are going to be released. I think we're still going to see a lot of big blockbuster movies released. Will they be day and day, like on the streaming services? Maybe. I think that there's some money to be made by doing that, to have that option with an audience built in, because you know you're still going to have a certain subsection of people that are going to go out that first weekend no matter what and still watch it. And they already subscribe. Like, you're going to have those people. So it's a financial calculus. To see if Disney's going to jump on that bandwagon or if they're going to kind of stay the course and charge people $20 a pop for a movie.
Well, time will tell if they're able to get your butt back in the seat in the theater. Paul, what is going to get your butt back in the comic book store to actually buy a comic book again?
Well... I was going weekly. I was a weekly comic shop patron, weekly comic shop patron, client, buyer of rare comic books. but that was during the days of like being in the office, going to work, you know, every week.
Yeah.
So it was just the part of my drive home Wednesdays.
Yeah.
But I'm a big proponent, and it's part of my OCD, I'm a big proponent of, if it's not literally on my way, I won't go there. Like, if it's not on one of the roads I'm on to get to where I'm going, I'm not going
even
out
if,
of my way.
If it's
to get
on
somewhere.
The other side of the road, if I have to turn around to get to it.
So, like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I just stopped making special. They kind of went hand in hand. My not being out and about on a weekly basis to stop at the comic shop, and my just general disinterest in comic books, like, they kind of dovetailed together, and which resulted in me not buying a whole lot of comics. Like, I was a big DC guy. I still consider myself a DC fan, but none of the stuff that they're putting out. None of this stuff interests me, and like, they're doing all this. I don't want to be, you know, crusty old man, like we were talking about before we started recording about how we want our athletes off the field.
Take a pause with that for a second, because this whole like notion of like, oh, we're just old now. We loved comic books like 5 years ago. What, in 5 years we turned into like these fucking horrible old people that hate everything.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so you go from youthful, exuberant, and optimistic to...
Is that what we were 5 years ago? First of all, I challenge you on that. Like, five years ago, we were haters.
First of all, I'm a yellow belt, so I would probably be careful what you challenge me to.
Andy, the producer, pull that episode whenever we talk about his yellow belt.
So, yeah, I guess, Matt, you're right. Like, we're not old men out of the game at this point. And it, like, I mean, like, for me, DC is just making books that I'm not really interested in.
There you go.
So I don't get DC books anymore. Like, the only DC book I'm still getting is Strange Adventures, because
you love Tom King.
I started getting the beginning of it, and, well, I struggled through this till, you know, 9 out of 12. I may as well get the last three.
Why did you even do it knowing who's writing it?
Because
what the hell?
Mitch Gerads and Doc Shane are excellent
Dynamic.
Artists.
Did you check
They're
out the, what was the one that Tom King and Mitch Gerads did before that? It was Mr. Miracle.
No.
Did you watch or read that? Watch. Did you read those?
I did not.
Those are really good.
That's what I've heard. And I know he wrote that Vision book, which is supposed
Fine.
To be killer.
It's good.
But yeah, like all the stuff that I've read by Tom King, I don't like. But I thought maybe this will be a little different. I thought it was going to be a quirky take, like, you know, like the Mr. Miracle book or the Vision book, which seem to have like they're not Superman, they're not Batman. He can kind of do whatever he wants with those characters. Adam Strange, same way. Like, he can kind of mold this, and maybe it would be a unique experience like those other books, which I think a lot of people came out of like, oh, these were kind of fun. Well, this is like the opposite. This is like, oh, remember Adam Strange? He's a war criminal. He's a murderer. His wife is a complete cunt. They're awful people now. And
Woo,
yeah,
that
I mean,
word.
that's what happens in that book. Like, he writes them so unlikable. And like, Mr. Terrific is the only guy that's like, hey, I found the evidence. You fucked this up. Like, but since they're the Stranges, they kind of get away with it. And, like, Mr. Terrific's left drinking at a bar, like, I did what I could. Like, it's, the whole book's kind of depressing.
All right, so
it looks amazing, but it's kind of depressing. Not to digress from Strange Adventures, right. But I'm getting that, but like I said before we started recording, I was like, I'm getting that. I'm getting the Matt Fraction Daredevil run, which is very good. Marco Cicchetto is the artist. It's been killer since I started picking it up. I still really like it.
That was Ron Garney on art initially, right?
Was it? Maybe
I think so.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. But that's been really good, and Ascender is kicking back up. And I think there's maybe a couple. I think Gideon Falls is going to be doing something else.
Another Lemire joint.
Yeah. So I'm getting things, but I'm up at the comic shop maybe once a month mm-hmm. when I'm in the area. Just I'll stop in. It's not a destination mm-hmm. like it once was.
Mm-hmm.
So what would get me there? What would make it a destination spot again?
That's what we want to know.
Well, why don't you let me think about it while Ian answers?
Holy shit. What a preamble to
to nothing.
To like, I don't know.
Hot potato.
Bam. Wow. Well, it's a good thing that I actually fucking thought about this a little bit in comparison to you, Paul. I know exactly what would get me back into the shop. And it goes back into some of the old stuff from the 90s. Maybe it's me just being an old guy. I think I would like to blend some of it, though. The thing that I liked best in the 90s in all of my comic books, I think what I really liked, I loved the X-Men. And I loved those characters from the 90s. And I loved whenever they would cross over. It was novel at the time. I wouldn't necessarily need a, you know, every all the time crossover, but I would like the individual X books to feel like they all kind of went together a little bit. And the thing that would get me back would be a Uncanny X-Men drawn by Mark Silvestri, an X-Men title drawn by Jim Lee, a X-Force title drawn by Rob Liefeld. Like, just take me back to the early 90s.
You want the old guys to come back and
give me the old illustrators, but give me some of the newer writing talent. And even, like, it doesn't even have to be that much newer. It can be Brian Michael Bendis or even a Joss Whedon, who I really liked his take on X-Men with Astonishing X-Men.
You support violence against women.
Well, hey, man, when it calls for it, you know what I'm saying? Those women go invisible sometimes. No, any of the, like, 2000s writers, because I thought that the writers in the writing from the early 2000s, mid-2000s, was really top-notch. Hey, even give me Robert Kirkman. Put him on a book or something like that. Maybe he could spin gold like he's doing with
throw him a dime. Put him on a book.
But
he needs the help.
I would like top. I would like today's top level writing talent with yesterday's illustrative talent. That's still top notch. But I'd like to see them return to these books. I haven't seen outside of Rob Liefeld because he stayed very connected with Deadpool and Cable for the duration of the past 20 years. But Jim Lee hasn't drawn an X-Men character new in a long time. I'd like to see him return to Marvel and do some classic takes on X-Men characters, just like he did whenever he went to DC and they did the Hush storyline, which just rolled out every villain that they could possibly roll out.
I love that. What's going to get you back is Jim Lee taking the biggest pay cut of his life to go from DC like chief content officer to Marvel
monthly
drawer.
Comic book, right?
Yeah, something that would, I mean, something that would never happen. I understand that, but the question wasn't what's feasible, and it's not like totally. It's not totally unrealistic in me resurrecting people. I'm not like bringing Darwin Cook back from the grave or Jack Kirby or anything like that. I'm using living people. So that's what would do it for me. A return to the 90s X-Men aesthetic with the 2000 writing styles. So hopefully that was enough time, Paul.
It
for
was.
You to think up what the fuck you wanted.
It was.
And wait, can I just say that, so Ian, what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm excited by
the
fucking
tone.
Sneer on your face.
You're not going back to buying comic books because like you're
because what I said
happen.
Was what yeah
said
what I said
is,
was fiction.
Right. Like no way that's ever gonna happen. So or you're done.
That would get me. What was the question exactly? Can you?
What would get you back in a comic book store buying comics regularly or a specific title even?
Yeah, I mean, like that would be the instant thing that like I would.
You'd line up at midnight for that one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be fun, actually, wouldn't it? If like we could
did you
that.
Line up at midnight for the new 52? You didn't?
No.
Me and
I think I was out of town when that.
Oh, did you and Dom
launched.
Go?
Me and Dom went. Yeah, that's we right. went to Phantom in the Attic in Monrovo at midnight and bought all of the release titles.
Ian, I
we
called Phantom. I was
yet.
Like, put these away for me.
I think it was right on the cusp of us being friends, but yeah, me and Dom went and it was a lot of fun. It was cool.
Yeah,
I would do that for you know, X-Men. I don't know what's some marketing stuff. That we could do. Well, we're going back in time.
The new 50.
But it's old,
the
though,
new
so we're going new. Back.
The new 616.
The new 616. Matt, what did you say about dudes?
I like, said the new 50 mutants.
Okay. Andy, cut this shit. This is bad. Paul?
It did give me time to think, and you know whenever Matt posed this question earlier, like my initial reaction is just a good Hal Jordan book again, because Hal Jordan's been in that Green Lantern book by Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp for seems like infinity at this point, and I got the first so many issues of that, and it was so weird and bonkers, and it's Grant Morrison, like. What did I expect? I didn't like it. I kind of hated it. But I would want a real good Green Lantern book again. But I would also want a real good Nova book again. And I know we're talking, what do you want, Paul? Well, you just want a good space cop book. But I loved the Abnett Lanning Nova stuff. I also loved I think it was Pete Tomasi that did the Sam Alexander Nova stuff. So, and that got me thinking about the Francis Manapul, Jeff
that
Johns.
That was Tomasi?
I don't remember. I don't remember who did that.
Wasn't it Zeb
that
Wells?
Run.
Was it?
I'm
Zeb
not
Wells
sure
is a good writer.
It. That's a writer, Zeb Wells?
No. Yeah. Good writer.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I like those books a lot. And I even went in with a bad attitude because I was like, who's this punk kid? Rich Rider's Minova. Who the fuck is Sam Alexander? And then I was like, oh, this kid's pretty fucking awesome.
My guy.
But then that got me thinking about the Geoff Johns Francis Manapul Superboy book, which was Connor Kent, you know, black t-shirt. Connor Kent, you know, went back to Smallville to kind of reset after time with the Titans and, you know, losing his mind because he finds out he's part Lex Luthor and all this stuff. And what all of those books have in common, especially the Geoff Johns book. So he did the Geoff Johns Green Lantern book with Ethan Van Sciver. That was Rebirth. It was huge. But the issues that followed after that, which was Hal Jordan reacclimating to being alive again, being Green Lantern, being on Earth, finding his place again, that's the same tone as Connor Kent finding his place as Superboy outside the Titans. Sam Alexander learning what it's like to be the Nova because Rich Rider's gone. Like, I like that story, that kind of, you know, rebuilding a character that has history, whether it's his own history or it's a legacy that he needs to live up to. Like, I want something that I recognize put forth in a book. And this could very well be my fault. There may be a lot of books out there. Like, I don't really know what the Far Sector Green Lantern book is with Joe Mullen as the Green Lantern. That could very much be New Green Lantern living up to Green Lantern legacy, and I just never bought it. That could be something. But like, that's the kind of thing I want. I want a legacy character that I know, that I recognize, that kind of needs to find themselves again.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Moreno, I think, did those first so many issues of Green Lantern after Rebirth. And, you know, Francis Manapul is great. Like, I even picked up that shitty Batman run that he was on just because his artwork was really good. I forget who wrote it. But, yeah, I think that's what, like, I'd want a big push for, like, that kind of story. Like, hey, mm-hmm. this person's back. This character you love is back. Like, because Connor Kent's just been dismissed. Like, I have no idea what's going on with Sam Alexander. I think he's part of, like, the Ms. Vision and Ms. Marvel team, whatever they're doing. But, like, I like the more singular focus. Because, like, I like Naomi. Naomi's a pretty recent book that Bendis kicked off. But then, like, after, like, the first arc, it all got folded into his bigger plans with Superboy and Young Justice and all this other stuff. And then it got to the point. It wasn't about Naomi anymore. It was about, like, all this other DC shit happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, those books were just about one character doing one character's job. Like, give me that. That's what I want. Matt, why don't you talk for a little bit?
Okay. I think for me, what would be very exciting is more along the lines, Ian, of what you were talking about. But I would probably say, like, it could be a little more realistic, even though probably not. And that would be having the bigger publishers do something like a New 52 again. It was the most exciting thing to happen to comic books since then. Like, I don't think there's been anything since then that has moved the needle like that did. Maybe it would be cool to see Marvel try something like that. I mean, I don't even recognize Marvel anymore at this point. So maybe wiping the slate clean is the way to go. I don't know. But Paul, to your point, coming up with stories, doing them in a way that kind of makes some of these classic characters more recognizable to who we know, that might be enticing. Certainly, the good artwork would be nice. I think there's a real problem with comic book art today in that it's like over rendered. It's too much. It's too photo referenced, too stiff. It's too perfect. I feel like nobody's taking chances with their artwork anymore. They're not just letting letting themselves just draw this stuff. Instead, it's like, well, I gotta check it against Google Images first. And I think that if we got back to a little bit more of a dynamic illustration style in a lot of comics, that would go a long way with me. So yeah, I would love to see some of the classic characters treated a little bit more how I'm familiar with them. And if we can't do that, then maybe a new 52 for Marvel in particular. But even with DC, like, for me, DC Comics were the best they ever were when they did the new 52. But I was never a huge DC fan to begin with. It's the same reason why those J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, to me, are the best Star Trek there's ever been, because I was never really a Star Trek fan. But when you kind of reboot it and shake it up and sort of make it a little bit more modern, I guess, or a little more accessible, suddenly I'm interested. And I think you could get there. There are hints. There's some cool stuff. I just picked up a couple comic books recently. Noctera from Image Comics. I haven't read it yet, but I bought it on the strength of the artwork by Tony Daniel. Give me great artwork by, I mean, Tony Daniel is a tenured artist. You know, he has been around for a long time and he knows how to draw comic books. And I want comics drawn by people that know how to tell a story visually. Majorly underrated aspect of sequential storytelling. I think a lot of modern artists could probably learn a thing or two by taking a step back and figuring out how to visually tell stories better. So those would be ways that I would do it. But
yeah, like I don't think I have a writer artist wish list.
Well, can we assign one writer artist to one book that you're sure that you would go and buy?
I can 100% tell you.
Okay.
If Pete Tomasi and Pat Gleason started Green Lantern Corps again, I would be there day one. Slam dunk, day one. I wouldn't even fucking think about it. That would get me into that fucking comic shop.
And Ian, I'm assuming if Jim Lee draws X-Men with Matt Fraction writing it.
Maybe not Matt Fraction. Honestly, the guaranteed combo that I've witnessed time and time again that hit it out of the park is we're going to go to a combo that already did it. Joss Whedon and John Cassidy, their work on Astonishing X-Men, I think got me... I don't think I was out of comic books, but I was having one of my periods of being lighter into comic books.
Who were they again?
Astonishing X-Men, Joss Whedon, John Cassidy.
Oh, okay.
That combo that I think they did, I don't know, 35, 40
that's a hell of
issues
a run.
In a row.
Yeah, they did a long like run. Same it was with a long run. Gleason on Green Lantern Corps. I haven't been getting comics, so I can't really comment on what's been going on the last couple years. But that Tomasi Gleason run, Whedon and Cassidy, they were long runs. They put in work on those books.
Yeah, that Astonishing X-Men combination, if they would... And that's a little bit... I'm taking your feedback, I'm taking your criticism. I understand that Jim Lee is not coming back to draw a monthly book, so... I recalibrated slightly for Joss Whedon. Hard up for work. Needs some work
Lee,
right
Jim
now.
Jim Lee is more likely to get a chance to do it than Joss Whedon. Now you're really in fantasy land.
No, Ian, I think that they would give him a job.
Ian, would you?
He doesn't have to be around women to write. So
would you need? Would you need some kind of guarantee that you're going to get a long run?
Give me 12 issues. Give me a year, and I think that I would
just
be
one good maxi run.
Yeah, I think that would be fair. How about you? Do you need a guarantee of a long run? It's comic books. We don't get guarantees often.
No, I'd get the Tomasi Gleason book, even if it was just six issues. But man, would I want them to just stay on it, because the world building that they did in that book, and like the that whole era of Green Lantern after Rebirth, everyone's like, oh, Geoff Johns, but yeah, Geoff Johns was great, and he put so much shit into place, but Tomasi and Gleason really expanded all of that stuff, because they were on Green Lantern Corps. They had all the other Green Lanterns, all the other, like, they were getting, you know, the bigger concepts of Red Lanterns, Yellow Lanterns, you know, Indigo Tribe, do all this other stuff, and then they could take them in other places. So, like, they built such a rich foundation that I've been rewatching on a rare occasion that I rewatch something. I've been rewatching the Green Lantern animated series, and I'm like, man, like, 50% of this shit is from that core run, and it's so good.
Matt, if you had a combination, what's your dream team?
Well, yeah, I was thinking as you guys were talking, and how about this?
So you weren't listening to us.
No, you know I can't multitask.
It's like I totally tune you out, but you know,
you're not like Ian who reads a novel, listens to a podcast, and watches a movie.
That's why
with the same efficacy at the same time.
Paul, efficacy isn't a fucking word. It's not a fucking word. And B,
it is.
Thinking about you on a Saturday night with like
efficacy. That's how you pronounce it. Efficacy
is a word.
That's what
that
I meant.
Is. But
yes,
when
that's
you
what I meant.
Put the Ecophysy. Wrong
efficacy. Yes.
Emphasis on the wrong syllable.
On the syllable, yes.
Yeah, it fucks it all up. So on a Saturday night, you have a fucking, you're ready to read a book, and you're like, turn it all off, turn the TV off, shut everything down, let's get the fucking candle going. I'm going to read my book in total silence.
The only thing that's ever on the TV when I'm reading a book is a hockey game or sporting event, any sporting event. Like
any
I can put
sporting
sports on while I'm
event
reading.
Will do
because yeah. I can hear when something happens.
Same thing with the movie, by the way. It is the same thing.
I don't think that it is, because there's a lot of things happening on screen that are visual cues that you need to be looking at.
Much
to get
like
the
play on the field, ice, court.
I don't need to see 17 foul balls before the actual home run.
Yeah, that's where you're fucked up. You're watching baseball. It's boring.
I also don't need to see trap hockey for two periods until someone wins 2-1 in a shootout.
Again, that's where you're fucked up. You're watching
but
hockey.
You don't know what you're going to get watching hockey. Some games are going to be great. Some games, you get 2-1 in a shootout. But when you're watching a movie, there's a lot of things happening in a movie that I think attention needs to be paid more strict attention to. Matt, I think you were talking.
I think so. Well, that's okay. Yeah, so I wasn't listening. Big deal. Sue me. We record this for a reason. I'll listen back. But I've got some ideas, man. So, how about one creator on some different books? Okay, so
like a universe.
Like not a team, but like a singular creator. So like I'm gonna put. I'll put Eric Larson back on Spider-Man. That would be cool. I'll put Todd McFarlane on the other Spider-Man book. Okay.
Ooh.
So we'll have a couple.
Who
Spider-Man
do you give what? Which one?
Larson's gonna get Amazing, and McFarlane will get Spider-Man.
That's how I would do it too. I like it.
Cool.
Good. Why don't you guys kiss?
Oh, I'm sorry that we like things, you fucking asshole.
A few more. Walt Simonson, I'm going to put him on... Yeah, he's going to go on Thor, but it's going to be a Thor Silver Surfer book. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know who else could do Silver Surfer.
Taika Waititi going to write
some it. Surfing, some hammering.
No, it's going to be Walt Simonson.
He's going to write and draw.
On Daredevil... I was going to have Frank Miller do it, but I'm actually going to put Frank Miller on Batman.
Ooh.
He's going to do Batman. Okay. A regular Batman title, not year one, not year 8.
He's going to write it?
He's going to write and draw it.
Oof.
Now? Write and draw
like now?
Yes. Oof. We'll see.
going to be a very racist Batman, I feel.
It's also going to look like shit.
Wait, why?
Frank Miller has some weird stuff that's been bubbling up.
Oh, well.
I mean, it's okay. We can do.
I mean, you have Joss Whedon, so fuck you.
Yeah, but women, I mean. Am I right? That's at the sauce.
And then on Daredevil, we're going to bring over Matt Wagner, and he's going to do the Daredevil comic
book. Ooh, look at you getting spicy. Did Matt Wagner ever do Daredevil? Or
no, but he did Batman. He's done some Batman stuff, yeah. And I was like, instead of just doing Batman, let's make him do Marvel Batman. So I think that would be kind of cool. So we'll get a couple of artist writers to do a few books. I think that would be kind of fun.
Sounds fun to me, Matt.
It sounds fun to me as well. It sounds like a blast from the past. That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Yellow Belt, Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.